We are coming to the end of the Easter season. Next Sunday, we observe the Feast of the Ascension. And 2 weeks from today, we observe the final moment of the Easter season, the Feast of Pentecost. The Gospel passage today echoes a Gospel passage that you and I reflected on at the very beginning of the Easter season. On the Sunday after Easter, the Gospel told us that it was on that very same day, Easter, in the evening, when the disciples had gathered in the upper room and the doors were locked for fear of the authorities, and Jesus came and He stood in their midst and He said to them, "Peace be with you." He then showed them His hands and His side, and when the disciples saw Him, they were filled with joy, and again He said to them, "Peace be with you." In today's Gospel reading, Jesus says to those apostles, "My peace I give to you. Peace is my gift to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." The gift of peace is the fundamental gift of the risen Lord. And the gift of peace is the establishment within us of a right relationship with God, a right relationship with ourselves, the gift of integrity, and a right relationship with our neighbor. And that gift, which is beyond the world's capacity to give, that gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That gift is sometimes very elusive. That gift is sometimes very difficult to hold on to. That gift sometimes is not present in our lives, in the life of a community, in the life of the church. The first reading from the Scriptures, the reading from the 15th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, tells us about a moment in that very early church when there was anything but peace. That story is told in two places in the New Testament. One is the 15th chapter of the Acts, and the second place is the second chapter of his letter to the Galatians. Acts allows us to see the story through the eyes of Luke. Galatians allows us to see the story through the eyes of Paul. And while the story is basically the same, the details differ greatly. Well, this is the story. The early converts to the faith were men and women from Jerusalem. They were Jews. They had lived the faith of Israel. And at the preaching of the apostles, they embraced Jesus of Nazareth and affirmed Him, affirmed their faith in Him as the Son of God. The fulfillment of the law and the prophets. But those early Jewish converts continued to observe the life of the faith of Israel. They went to the temple and they prayed morning and evening prayer. They continued to observe the feasts and the festivals. And they observed the commandments, not just the Ten Commandments, but the 613 commandments of the law of Moses. That early church was a sect of Judaism. The fulfillment, the perfection, but nevertheless rooted deeply in Jewish practice. Until the arrival of Paul. And Paul goes forth to preach that gospel not to Jews, but to Gentiles. He goes into the Greek and Roman world. He invites men and women who had no experience of Israelite faith to embrace faith in Jesus Christ. And so what grew up in all those places that Paul visited were communities of faith that truly were Gentile Christian faith. And here comes the controversy. The founders of the faith, if you will, those first believers, they're Jewish Christians. And they do not accept the fact that a Gentile could become Christian without taking upon themselves the Jewish observance. And so, as Paul is speaking in Antioch, there are people who come up from Jerusalem, Jewish converts, who were formerly Pharisees, and they say to these new Gentile converts, they say to them, unless you embrace the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. They drew a line in the sand. Unless you do this, you may not be saved. And the result was huge consternation within the minds and hearts of those new converts. Their consciences had been disturbed. And so Paul and Barnabas go to Jerusalem to seek a solution to this problem, to this crisis. It's hard to overestimate how important that crisis was. The church was just inches away from being torn apart. Well, Paul and Barnabas meet with the apostles and the elders, and they debate the issues. And they arrive at a solution. And that's precisely where the story picks up in today's first reading. We are told that the communication that was sent back to Antioch and to Syria was simply, it is the will of the Holy Spirit and ours as well that we should place upon your shoulders no burden other than those things which are absolutely essential. It seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us that we place upon you Gentile believers no burden except those things that are absolutely essential. And as a result, the experience of Jewish Christianity began to fade and die, and what was birthed was Gentile Christianity. What was birthed was the expansion of Christian faith in the non-Jewish world. Well, the Scriptures offer us not only an understanding of an event that occurred, but they are a teaching for us today. We all know people who want to dot every I and cross every T. We all know people who want rules upon rules upon rules so that everything operates uniformly. We find those people in the workplace, we find those people in schools, we find those people in parishes, we find those people in business, we find those people in our families. The more rules, the better. And we all know what that experience is. It's constricting. It's constricting. It makes it impossible for men and women to have the room to move. Jesus says in the gospel, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I stand in their midst." Well, you know, sometimes we crowd each other. Sometimes we don't grant each other elbow room. And when we crowd each other too much, then there's no midst into which Jesus can stand. What that early church did was it made a decision under the power of the Holy Spirit that opted for diversity, that recognized that everyone will not agree, everyone will not do things the same way, that there must be enough room under the tent to accommodate men and women who differ from each other. Not in essentials, but in so many other ways. That early church said, "It appears good to the Holy Spirit and to us that no burden should be placed upon your shoulders other than those things which are absolutely essential." I would suggest that's a good rule of thumb. It's a good rule of thumb when it comes to making rules. That we make sure that the rules are absolutely needed. And if they aren't, for good order, if they aren't absolutely needed, then there needs to be freedom. There needs to be the opportunity for the Spirit of God to move. Almost 50 years ago, in 1959, Pope John the 23rd, after calling together the Church Council, wrote his first letter to the Church Universal. In paragraphs 71 and 72 of that letter, John the 23rd says, "The Catholic Church leaves many questions open for discussion. She does this to the extent that matters are not absolutely certain. And far from jeopardizing the Church's unity, these conflicts can actually pave the way for the attainment of unity. For discussion can lead to fuller and deeper understanding of truth. When one idea strikes against another idea, there may be a spark. The common saying, expressed in various ways and attributed to various authors, must be recalled and must be affirmed. in essential matters, we must have unity. In doubtful matters, we must have liberty. In all matters, we must have charity. On the day you were baptized, you remember that day? Do you? Water was poured on your head, and the words were said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And at that very moment, you didn't realize it, but at that very moment, God did something very important in your life. God came into you, became part of you in a very special way. And after the water had been poured, then oil was put on your forehead. And when the oil was put on your forehead, the words were said, just as Jesus was anointed priest and prophet and king, so may you live always as a member of his body. You were wearing a white garment when you were baptized, just like you're wearing a white garment now for First Communion. And you were reminded, the white garment you wear is the outward sign of your Christian dignity, with family and friends to help you by word and example, bring that dignity to the eternal life of heaven. And after that, the priest touched your ears and he touched your lips. And he said, may you hear the word of God and may you proclaim faith in Jesus Christ. And once all of that was done, you were given a candle. And when you were given the candle, it was said, you have been enlightened by Christ. You are to always walk as a child of the light, so that when the Lord comes, you may go forth to meet him with all the saints in the heavenly kingdom. Those were very important words, and that was a very important day. Well, today, you are invited to come to the altar of the Lord, and for the first time to receive the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament of the Eucharist. And you're able to do that because you are baptized, because you are a member of God's family, because on that day of your baptism, God became in a very special way your Father, and Jesus became in a very special way your brother. And because of that, you have a right now, you have a right to come to the table of the Lord. Now that's true of every single one of us here today. Through the waters of baptism, we are given access to the table of the Lord. And so with these young people, I ask that you join me as we profess our faith, the faith first professed in baptism, the faith by which we live, and the faith which invites us to share the gift of the Eucharist at the table of the Lord. Please stand. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and buried, raised to life on the third day, and seated at the right hand of God? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? The Lord God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Body of Christ. The Lord bless you. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy
Spirit. Let everything that has breath shout and sing. For God created the heavens and earth by speaking.
God created the heavens and earth by speaking.